Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
I got a bad feeling about this.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
Your stunned silence is very reassuring.
Only on Project Nerd.
All right, guys, it is the Nerdcast episode 217, and we are coming at you with our Oscar prediction special. What? Yeah, I know the Oscars are early this year, and we're super early for multiple reasons. We're not around next few weeks, but I think we're going to give ourselves a little bit more of a challenge this year, not having all the guilds have already picked their winners to where we have to do our predictions. So interesting. Bob is not here, so I will be reading the wrong answers for Bob Allen. No, I got his answers. His predictions. And when we get to the back half of the episode, we're going to go down these. We'll rotate what we're saying, but we will announce Bob's first. So that way Adam and Tyler also know what Bob picked ahead of time instead of just me. So I don't hear about how I got an unfair advantage when I win this year, but it is right.
You're not going to win. Bob's going to win.
Probably. I don't know.
I like my chances.
I've already strayed from Bob. Adam doesn't even bother going for him. So it is Adam, Tyler, myself, Iggy. Once again, the Nerdcast brought to you by Geek Garage, geek-garage.com to check out all the coolest geek and movie-themed vehicles all across the world. Once again, Geek Garage, our wonderful and lovely sponsor. Adam, Tyler, how's it been, guys?
It's been good, buddy. Let me tell you. It's starting to get cold over here, like proper cold, like below zero Celsius.
He's already using those English words, proper. There
proper
we go.
Cold.
Proper cold.
I mean, that's been a word for a long time. But yeah,
in your context.
So it's actually starting to get chilly. And it was weird, though, because like as it started to get cold, I, you know, don't think about temperature the same way in Celsius as I do in Fahrenheit. So I go outside in like a t-shirt and a hoodie. I'm like, man, why am I so cold? And I do the conversion in my head. I'm like, oh, because it's 40 degrees outside and I'm in a t-shirt and hoodie, for God's sakes. I'm an idiot. But now, multiple layers, doing good. Reading a lot of comic books, actually, guys. You guys,
what are you reading?
Well, so I finished all 5 books of Why the Last Man, which is fantastic. I finished The Apocalypse Suite in Dallas of Umbrella Academy. So I need to get the third one. I didn't get that one when I bought the first two.
Yeah.
And then a friend of my wife's let us borrow the 6 books of Lock and Key. And I'm on the second book of that. And it's...
You're doing good.
It's quite good. Yeah.
Speaking of Umbrella Academy, is my understanding we're going to get more comic book Umbrella Academy as well as the show too. So,
oh yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
Speaking of Lock and Key, what'd you guys think of that trailer?
I haven't watched it yet.
I'm trying to finish the books first.
Get your lives together.
There's so many trailers right now. It is that time of the year and we haven't connected on a regular basis in a while. So there's a lot of trailers to catch up on. Real quick though, it is the first, I mean, this is, I know we're like 3 weekends into the new year, but as we always joke around now is that the summer box office season is now all year long. I really felt, you know, January was still where movies went to die. And when Doolittle's reviews started coming out, it very much felt that way. But Bad Boys for Life, almost $70 million for the weekend, as well as a lot of people praising it, you know, as fun as the first two. I feel like this is a hard one to mess up, though.
Yeah, I mean, you just put Will Smith and Martin Lawrence in front of the camera.
Right.
And you just roll the camera. I mean, you can't really go wrong there. So you just let them do their thing. And nothing been out big. I mean, you got 1917, but that's a very different kind of movie from...
Which I still haven't seen, guys. I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. I think we're going...
It's real good.
I am hopeful maybe tonight. You know what? I got all the house stuff done. I've got Project Nerd Cop back up. Maybe tonight's the night I go see it. So yeah, I'm excited.
But I mean, there hasn't been a lot
of
stuff like Bad Boys for Life out in a while. You got to get all the way back to last year before you get, you know, a funny movie that's out that everybody wants to see.
Or even just like a straight action, like a simple straight action film. Because like, as much as I still hate their new website, IMDb does those like comparable openings of like normal movies. It's made more money in its opening weekend than like John Wick 3 did. I mean, they're like within a couple million of each other, but like it's the first kind of just straight action movie to come out since like the summer. So
yeah, last one I can think of was August was Hobbs and Shaw. right?
Is that straight action? They went kind of supernatural too, didn't they?
It was terrible, dude.
I haven't watched it. I mean, I know that someone was a genetic black Superman. That's about all I got.
Right. First of all, it's
Idris Elba, so it's fine, right? Yeah,
exactly.
That's acceptable.
Same. So I watched it, and to be honest, I turned it on in the background thinking, I'll pay attention to like the over-the-top sequences, you know, that are Fast and Furious has become known for. Didn't even pay attention to the action and all the stuff. Who cared? And there's only a couple car sequences, really. So it's not even like a car movie at all. And I guess it's a spinoff, so let go. But I was entertained by it. It was almost like in the Bad Boys style, if you just let them two bicker. And then the best part was Ryan Reynolds cameos throughout. There was two or three scenes with Ryan Reynolds that are just phenomenal. There's one point where he's like asking him to come because he's bleeding to death. And oh, wait, so this isn't my blood. Never mind. This is the other guy's blood. So it's,
I mean, I'm a sucker for Jason Statham playing the angry straight man, and it works. So,
yeah, I mean, him and The Rock arguing was probably the best part of that movie. But I showed Orion both those Bad Boys movies and he loved them still. And I think he's excited about this one. Yeah. The second one's really good too.
The second one is not very good.
It is too.
It's
not as good as the first.
It's almost
exactly what it should be.
It's like a meme of itself. Like there's just so many sequences in it that are.
That's all right.
But that was at the point, I think, where Michael Bay had become, using your words, a meme of itself. Of himself.
Just embraced it.
These sequences are in every movie. And I think in my article for ProjectNerd.com that I put the 20 most anticipated movies, Bad Boys for Life was on there. And in one of the sentences I said, you know, if you would have had these two guys in every Michael Bay movie, I'd be a Michael Bay fan right now. That's for sure. Because the Bad Boys movies were great. The first one, especially.
I don't know. I think Hot Fuzz is the better Bad Boys movie.
Oh, well, Hot Fuzz is great. Which did you see? Adam, you might be excited for this one. Edgar Wright's movie coming out this year is a horror movie, dude.
Yeah, I mean, he can do no wrong.
Go to ProjectNerd.com. Check out 20 most anticipated movies of the year, because most of these movies we're starting to talk about, not Doolittle, but the other ones are on that list. I think you guys would agree, Dune as number one is the most anticipated movie of 2020. That's for sure. All right, so Doolittle, we got a review up on Project Nerd. Bad Boys for Life review up this weekend as well. So go check out those reviews. Probably in line. Nick's thoughts are probably in line with most of America's thoughts, it seems to be. No matter how much talent you put in Doolittle, it sucks. Bad Boys for Life, pure nostalgic fun. But that's what's happening there. So we got a lot of video games things happening too, real quick, guys. So I started listing some of these things. Looks like Tyler, Adam, one of you guys added it to our list before we get into the Oscar predictions. So the big news, I think, this past week was Cyberpunk getting pushed back till September. Not too surprising. Most big game releases are around the holiday season anyways. I think that, sorry for the rest of the video games coming out in September, October, right. Though.
Well, I mean, yeah, so you get a lot of stuff getting, actually a lot of stuff getting delayed the last week or two. It's been a little while since we met. The Final Fantasy VII remake, Square Enix came out and said very upfront, we want this game to be what you guys want it to be. We don't want there to be any problems, so we're going to take the time and get it right. No problem there. Also, you're looking at the Avengers game. So that's also announced as a delay. I'm more concerned about that game getting delayed than I am Cyberpunk or the Final Fantasy VII remake. I mean, Final Fantasy VII remake is essentially 12 years delayed at this point, so another couple months is not a big deal. But that Avengers game...
Well, the early buzz for it was already so bad.
Yeah, I just don't know how you make that a good game, unfortunately. We'll have to just see.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about the CD Projekt Red. I'm worried about Cyberpunk a little bit just because it's a new type of game for them. They're also introducing some stuff that like CD Projekt Red never really did, like multiplayer and things like that. But at the same time, like every game they've ever made has always been delayed, sometimes two or three times, and they've always been good. They've bought an obscene amount of goodwill from most gamers for the foreseeable future just because, you know, you make The Witcher 3, you get written a blank check for whatever the f*** you want to do for a long time.
They don't have the track record of EA or Activision or any of these other studios that put out a game and, like, you know, you get to a character and it's just eyes and teeth instead of a whole head. And you're like, okay, that's not okay.
As for Final Fantasy VII, it's like, I mean, that's one of those games I will believe it exists when it exists. But even then, it's literally... It's a nostalgia cash-in, pretty remake of a game that we've all played. Anyone who's going to buy the Final Fantasy VII remake has already played Final Fantasy VII at least 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times.
If you tell me you haven't played Final Fantasy VII, I will come.
No, I'm pointing at all of us, as in we are the people who have already played it. And
yeah, I'm saying
it's on my PS4 right now.
Right.
Maybe some people who have gotten into Final Fantasy later, like a lot of people got into Final Fantasy through Final Fantasy XIV, the online game, and like that got people interested in Final Fantasy. There's been a big resurgence online of, you know, speed speedruns and randomizers and fun things around a lot of the old Final Fantasy games. But yeah, I don't see there being a big market for this game outside of people who just really love Final Fantasy VII.
VII was my first Final Fantasy game, actually.
But I mean,
Yeah, I didn't play the other ones. I was familiar with them, obviously, but I hadn't played them. Speaking of Witcher, did you guys watch it on Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Just did you? Sure.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I don't know. I'm not as
don't know.
I'm not as wowed as everybody else. I had to have somebody messaging somebody and being like, okay, you're huge into The Witcher. I know this. You do all the costumes and all that stuff. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, here's no.
They made some interesting choices with the
real quick before you guys go into it. So our audience knows. I know you guys have played the games. I have not played the games nor read the books. So for out of us three, the show. That was new content to me. So go ahead.
They made some interesting choices with the timelines. And I think just to give them an excuse to stay sort of true to the books, but at the same time, put all three of the characters they want to be the main characters on screen at the same time. And they didn't really explain it. And if you weren't paying attention, it didn't become clear until like three episodes in, or unless you understood.
No, I think it was like the start of fifth episode is where they finally said, what's it been like 10 years? And I'm like, finally, you guys put it in there.
So there's some stuff in like the
third episode.
There's the second episode where they like when they go to Temeria, and there's some other stuff that becomes kind of clear about it, but it's sort of ish true to like the books. But I really like it. I feel like it was an 8-hour pilot episode for like what the real show will be like. I feel like the second season is when they actually get to like make the show they want to make.
So but it made
there me, was a lot of really good stuff in it,
right? It was interesting. The production value is great. The acting was strong. But I think, as you just pointed out, so if you're familiar with Preacher, the first season is actually just an extension of what, like the first 15, 20 pages of the graphic novel, if you've read it. So they leave the town almost immediately. The whole first season is them in the town kind of extended to give you more of an introduction to those characters. And I felt like you're saying right here, that's very much is nothing huge. Like things have happened. I don't want to take away from it, but nothing to the point to where I felt like at the end of episode 8, when it happened, when all episode 8 comes out, I won't get into too much spoilers. I was like, oh, okay, so now we're ready to start. Exactly what you're saying. Right. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go.
It's a full prequel and a full history lesson. So you know everything going into what they really want to talk about.
Yeah. And it also covered a ton of the books. The problem is what a lot of people don't realize is the first 2 or 3 books of Andrzej's series is collections of short stories. They're like just simple, like, here's a story about the time Geralt went and fought the Striga. Here's a story about the time that Geralt went and killed Renfri. Like, they're all these little short stories. The Last Wish. So like the Jin stories, like that's a short story. The Striga, that's a short story. And they just kind of threw them all together, and they all happen at different times. And like everything that happens in the games happens way after all the books. So it's just kind of this weird, we're in that kind of nebulous. But now we're starting to get into the parts of the books in the next season where there's longer, more intricate storylines being told, which will be interesting to see what they do with it.
Awesome. So we're going to spend most of our episode here in the Oscars. So real quick before we get there, the Producers Guild Awards did happen this weekend, and taking home top prize was 1917. On the TV side, it was successful. Again, which is starting to take up everything. I need to watch it. It looks so good. And when I'd watch other stuff, it like the trailers look good for it.
Do you like terrible people doing terrible things all the time?
No,
because that's what it is.
Likes that.
No,
but literally,
we like watching terrible people do terrible things to each other, for sure.
If right. You like, that's if exciting. You like watching terrible people be terrible and do terrible things, that's a succession. It's fantastic and super.
No wonder why in this day and age it's a popular.
Here's the thing. The problem is like you'll start watching, like, I don't understand what this is about or why I'm watching it. And then about 5 episodes in, you're like, I literally cannot stop watching everything that these people do.
So it looks like a great cast and everything too. So how we're going to do this again, as we do every year, we are going to predict our Oscar winners. And usually we do this the week before, so you get it and then turn around and get to watch the Oscars. We're doing this a few weeks before, so check it out now, but come back and revisit this episode shy of the Oscars. We'd love to get your opinion on your winners and everything. Why are we doing this early? One, a lot of our crew lives in Kansas City, and Bob is at the football game right now, and there is a high possibility, a 50% chance, if you're not playing odds, it just straight up, that the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl the weekend before the Oscars. So obviously some people will be preoccupied. Well, why not next weekend? Well, next weekend we will be busy as well. So we're going to go ahead and knock it out this weekend, and this is how we're going to do it. In no particular order, just in the order I've collected it on the ballot, I am going to announce the category and the nominees. I'm going to then say Bob's choice as he sent over his list. So that way we all know Bob Bob's choice. Obviously, we will try to deviate from Bob's some, but I feel like this year, more than most years, there's a good like 8 to 10 categories where it's like, this is the winner. There's no, you know, so, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But what we'll do is Bob's pick, and then rotating alphabetically, we'll start with Adam picking first on next one, then myself, then Tyler, and so on and so on. And we'll all do a little blurb as to why everything is being picked as to the way it is. So, gentlemen, the Nerdcast, brought to you by Geek Garage, is ready to start our Oscar predictions. Are you guys ready?
Dude, I was born ready.
Adam, could you at least like try to kind of win this year? That would be fun. Can you just try?
No, that's not fun because I'm going to lose. So if I try and lose, that's way worse than if I just pick whoever I want to pick and lose anyway. Then I feel better about it because there's that chance that I get one right that everybody else gets wrong. And it's like,
I did this. I did that one time. One time I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick the one I think should win. I don't do that anymore. Now we're here to win.
You and I were quite bad that year. Yes, I remember.
So let's get the stuff we don't usually know that well out of the way first. And we'll start with best animated short film. Disney does have a horse in the race with Kit Bull. But you also have Daughter, Hair Love, Memorable, and Sister. Sister is the one that we're hearing the most about, and that is also the one Bob picked for best animated short film. Real quick, what do you got for us, Adam?
I haven't seen any of these.
Yeah, that's why we're getting these ones out of the way.
I like the name Hair Love. We're going to go with Hair Love.
You pick. I like the color of their uniforms, so I'm going to pick them to win.
Well, I don't have any hair. That's really what was tracking
me. You got a wonderful beard. That's Hair Love.
I don't know if that counts.
All right, Tyler.
But I'm going with Hair Love.
Tyler, I guess.
This is yet another one that I don't really know anything about. I am going to go with DeSera.
All right, that is Daughter. And I'm going to take Disney on this one since I don't know either. I'm going to go with Kit Bull. We have all four picked something different, so great.
What did Bob pick?
He picked Sister. So for best live action short film, another one we're not sure on, although this one we are hearing a awfully lot about one of the films. So we have Brotherhood, the NFTA Football Club, The Neighbor's Window, Saria, and A Sister. Bob has picked Brotherhood. Since this is my pick first here, I am also taking Brotherhood because that is the only one I have heard anything about. Adam, what you got for us?
NFTA Football Club.
All right, Tyler.
I'm on it.
Yeah, you got to go Brotherhood.
Cool. Yeah, I feel like it's getting a lot of talk. And on these types of ones, if you're hearing about it.
Put me down for Brotherhood.
Okay. We'll switch you there. Best documentary short subject, In the Absence, Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone, Life Overtakes Me, St. Louis Superman, Walk, Run, Cha-Cha. Bob has picked Life Overtakes Me. Tyler, you're first on this one.
Yeah, I got to go Life Overtakes Me too. That's also the only one I've heard about.
Oh, really? Adam?
I have heard of one of these and it's not Life Overtakes Me. It's Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone if you're a girl. So I'm going to pick that one.
Me too. Yeah. That's the one I want. Yes, I've heard huge things about that. Possibly because my Google search history has skateboard in it. So it probably is why. Yeah. It's probably why it's pulled it. Otherwise, I think it's just because one that I'm hearing about. But it's about an activity for young girls in a war zone. Like in the Middle East. Like this is, to me, I feel like this one's a good one. Move it to some things we might know a little bit more about, but I'm going to be honest. This year is the year that I've least, the documentaries that I least know about. And the one documentary that I expected that I absolutely loved is not on this list, Apollo 11, right? So best documentary feature is American Factory, The Cave, The Edge of Democracy, Forsama, and Honeyland, which we've heard about a few of these. So Adam, back to you as first pick. Bob has picked Honeyland.
Yeah, that was going to be the one I was going to go with. So I think Honeyland.
I am going to take American Factory because Honeyland and American Factory, the two I've heard the most about. And I'm trying to pick different than Bob here. So American Factory, what do you got for us, Tyler?
Yeah, I'm really torn on this one. I've watched The Edge of Democracy. I really like it. I think the Academy likes to avoid that sort of thing. For me, it's between Forsama and American Factory. So since you win American Factory, I'm going to go Forsama.
All right. I like it. We're mixing it up already. This is good. So let's jump into the sound awards. And this is where we'll start talking a little bit more detail of what we know. I think for the most part, not a guarantee, but the two sound ones are pretty close to guarantee on who's going to win these. So sound mixing is Ad Astra, Ford v. Ferrari, Joker, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. 1917 is Bob's pick. It is my turn to pick first, and I am going to go with Bob on this one. 1917, when you're mixing war and bombs and planes and all that, that's usually a pretty safe pick. Tyler, what do you have for us in sound mixing?
Yeah, you got to go 1917.
All right. Adam, are you?
Yeah, it's that's a ridiculous one, especially when the movie's that good.
Right. Achievement and sound editing, almost the same exact categories or same exact participants. Instead of Ad Astra, we're getting Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, joining Ford v Ferrari, Joker, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Once again, Bob has gone 1917. Tyler, this is your first pick.
Also 1917.
All right. Adam, just do it. We know it. I'm picking it too.
No, screw it. Ford versus Ferrari, because I really like that movie.
Okay, okay. See,
And you get the difference in sound editing there, I think, because you get more talking and the driving sounds and stuff like that.
So. See, I think Ford v Ferrari is going to get a win. I'm picking later on that one, though. I think it's going to be one of those ones to where it's 2 to 3 that are possible, and this is where the Academy says, hey, this is where we're going to award this movie.
I will say that I have Ford v Ferrari on my list, but we're not quite there yet.
Right, exactly. So I think this is one where sound is going that way. Original song. I normally pick Disney, but it feels like everything is going the other way. So let's get the list real quick. I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away from Toy Story 4. I'm Standing With You from Breakthrough. Stand Up from Harriet. And then probably the two favorites, I'm Gonna Love Me Again from Rocket Man and Into the Unknown from Frozen 2. Bob chose Rocket Man. Rocket Man was the winner at the Golden Globes. Who are we around to now? Adam, this is, yeah, Adam's your first pick.
Yeah, I think it's me. I think it's Rocket Man. I'm going to pick against the mouse, and it's hard, but
I hate the fact that we have a biopic about somebody who's able to write his own song for his movie. That kind of annoys me and makes me want to not pick it, but it's probably going to be him, especially if he's the one that's going to be singing it live, probably both of them.
Why are you going to hate on Sir Elton John?
I'm not trying to hate on Sir Elton John. I'm just saying, I don't know. Who are you picking, Tyler?
Yeah, Rocket Man.
Okay, so
I think if Disney had only gotten one nomination, I would have picked it, but Toy Story and Frozen split in the vote.
Yeah, possibly. That's a good point. I think Rocket Man's the favorite there. Original score, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, and another Star Wars nomination. Bob picked Joker. Golden Globe winner was Joker. My turn again first here. Joker. I don't want Joker to win this stuff, but if there is a really, really strong point of the movie Joker, it's how well that score plays into that movie. I think the voters have been loving it. I'm going to go Joker as well. Tyler, best original score.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with Joker. It's really good. And like I said, I feel like Joker's going to win more awards than I'm okay with, but
yes,
I really am okay with this one. Also, if she wins, Hildur Honsdottir, she'll be like the third woman to win for best score, like ever in the Oscars. So
it's a good point to bring up, because it's already before the final votes are in, the internet's going crazy again about old white men being nominated for everything.
So. I mean, in the entire history of the award for best original score, 3 women have won it. So she would be the fourth. That would be really cool.
Cool. Adam.
Yeah.
Joker. Okay. Yeah, I mean. Okay. So the music things, we're not really picking against each other here. All right. So achievement in production design. We have The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite. Bob has picked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That seems to be the favorite. Tyler, you are first on this one. Achievement in production design.
Yeah, it's got to be like they just recreated that Hollywood, and it was amazing. Right. Like if only like they should win on the scene alone of him just like driving down Sunset. Like that's fair. You could just literally submit just that scene and you win the award.
You're gonna make me change my answer.
It's got to be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
All right, Adam.
What was your answer gonna be?
I think we mentioned earlier, I feel like there's certain movies that are nominated for things that would have had big wins in different years or different release points or different studios releasing them. I think this is where The Irishman, where Scorsese gets, you know, his movie gets an award, because this is the only thing I see The Irishman actually winning anything.
Just spoiler alert, I don't have The Irishman on my list one time.
That's my point. I don't think it's winning anything else. So that's why I think, and I may keep my vote there at The Irishman, just because I think it's one of those things to where it's like, hey, with nothing else is, you know, The Irishman's not winning anything else. Let's give it to this. But really strong case for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, especially the way Tyler just presented it. So Adam, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking Jojo Rabbit.
Really?
You guys know me. I like to pick with my heart. This category is chock full of period pieces from times where people, you know, remember. Like actually can remember those things. Not 1917 so much. There aren't too many people alive still that would remember that time period, but World War II, 70s in Hollywood, 70s in New York, Kansas City, all the places where The Irishman takes place. I mean, people remember those times still. So I'm going to go with Jojo Rabbit, I think.
Okay. I'm going to stick with The Irishman just to separate my ballot a little bit and to stand behind that. I think that's that winner there.
Solidarity, buddy. I like
it. There we go. All right.
Something different.
Let's keep going on those behind the scenes awards. Those achievement in visual effects. And this is where Avengers Endgame gets its first nomination. The Irishman, The Lion King, 1917, and the third and final nomination for Star Wars. First of all, Bob has picked Avengers Endgame here. And Adam, your pick.
I mean, have they given any to any of the new Star Wars movies? I don't think they have.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure The Last Jedi won something, didn't it? Or was it just nominated?
I think it was just nominated, but I can't remember. So I'm going to go with Rise of Skywalker because I think it's like...
Bold move gotten.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. I think it's better than Irishman.
Yeah, that's fair. In terms of special effects, visual effects, I think The Irishman, they did a great job there. It's still so hard for them to do that digital graphing on faces. Like, you still see a little bit of the, it doesn't look right and stuff. I think what the first few phases of Marvel and Disney have accomplished, what's all going there, I think Bob is right on this one too. I think Endgame is your easy pick for visual effects. Tyler, who are you picking?
Yeah, I was this close to picking The Irishman for all the reasons you said, like the face mapping, a lot of that works really well, better than you've seen it work in almost any movie, but I got to go Endgame. This was probably one of the hardest ones for me to pick, though.
I think so. I think the only one that you really can't pick is Lion King. I think the other four you can make a case for here, for sure. Achievement in makeup and hairstyling. I don't know if there's going to be any argument here if you've seen what they've done to some of these actors. Bombshell, Joker, Judy, Maleficent, 1917. Bob has picked Bombshell. This is my first pick. I have also picked Bombshell. And Tyler.
Bombshell.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking, 40 years removed. We're talking like 4 years removed from some of this stuff. And they look identical. It's right. Amazing.
All right. Achievement in costume design. Good category here. The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Bob has picked Little Women. Tyler, you're the first pick on this one.
This is another one I had not as much trouble as I had with some of the other ones, but another one I had trouble with. But I am also going to go Little Women. I think Little Women's one of the best five movies of the last year. And I don't think it's going to win any awards except for this one. And it super upsets me.
I will let Adam pick, but I'm going to pretty much make that same argument. Adam, what do you got?
Yeah, it's Little Women. Period pieces win costume design, and the rest are too recent, I think.
Well, not only that, it mixed that with, like we said, the fact that we're dealing with a movie that's got a lot of praise, didn't even get its director nominated, which has become a thing, and isn't going to probably win any of the other awards. So this is a good pick right there, Little Women. Achievement in film editing, as we get to the fun technical awards, film editing and cinematography here. So achievement in film editing, Ford v. Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Parasite. Bob has picked Joker. Adam, who are you going with?
Ford versus Ferrari.
I am going to go with you on this one for it. So this is where I said earlier that I have one category for Ford v. Ferrari to win because I think this is where it acknowledges it. So I think this is where it is. It's going to give it to Ford versus Ferrari. Tyler, you seem to be on the same page with me about a Ford versus Ferrari nominee later. Is this where you're picking
that? This is it. And here's the thing. This was another one of those ones where I almost flipped a coin between it and The Irishman. I thought this might be the one where The Irishman sneaks in. But I've got to go Ford v. Ferrari.
I think it's a good point, but I feel like the editing in this is really strong. Like, to cut such different styles of scenes, like immediately after each other, too.
Oh, and I 100% believe Ford versus Ferrari should win this award. The only reason I would go with The Irishman is because it's Scorsese and it's a million hours long. So long movies like to win editing awards.
There's significantly more cuts because they need significantly more cuts.
So I think we've had a couple that are pretty close to guarantees. We think costume design is pretty much a lockup. Best song and score are pretty much lockups. I think cinematography is going to fall into this as well. We have The Irishman, Joker, The Lighthouse, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Bob has picked 1917. I'm going with 1917. Sam Mendes is very much in the school of, that style between Karan, Iñárritu, all those guys that just love long single sequences that feel like the movie is maybe one or two takes. They have a lot less takes than most. That is definitely what 1917 is being praised for. The cinematography of that style always gets rewarded. I feel like this is a lock. 1917. Tyler, what are you thinking for cinematography?
What do you think I'm thinking for cinematography?
1917.
Who's nominated for it?
Oh, your boy is nominated for it.
You're damn right. Roger Deakins.
There you go.
Going in.
I forgot.
Get in there, Roger.
When they announced the nominations, I even made that point to you. I forgot we even brought that up.
Roger Deakins all the way. He went the 12th 12 times loser. Now he's just going to win them all.
They've acknowledged. They're like, we should have done this before.
Is he doing cinematography on the new Dune?
I don't believe so now.
No. Okay. Adam.
Yeah, it's 1917.
Okay.
I mean, it was 1917 before they announced the list. I knew 1917 was going to win, so.
Probably for the second year in a row, your most easy guarantee is going to be foreign language film again. Last year, it was Roma. There was nobody else stood a chance. Just like last year, Parasite is nominated not only for this, but for Best Picture, and has been all over every top list and nomination list there is. So Best International Film is Corpus Christi from Poland. Shout out to my Poles. Honeyland from North Macedonia. Les Mis from France. We need to count how many times Les Mis has been adapted to the screen. Pain and Glory from Spain, which has some nominations. I want to see that. That looks pretty good. And then Parasite from South Korea. Bob's pick, the favorite, you know, for foreign language. Golden Globe winner, everything. Tyler, you're first on this one. Foreign language film.
I don't know that there's ever been an Academy Award that was a bigger lock than this one.
Right.
Like, it's Parasite in a landslide.
Adam, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, Parasite.
Yep. All four of us are on this one. It's this one is for sure. Of the four that we've all kind of lined up on so far, this is the lock so far. Let's get into animated feature film. Interesting enough, Missing Link won at the Golden Globes, which is crazy because Missing Link didn't deserve a win. If that studio deserved a win, it was for Kubo and the Two Strings, one of the best animated movies out there in our lifetime. Thank you very much. Best animated feature film, though, has Missing Link nominated here, along with How to Train Your Dragon, I Lost My Body, which, check that out. That's a foreign film. It's available on Netflix. Not a kid's film. Wonderful film. Claws, which is a Netflix film. And Toy Story 4. Adam, we're back around to you, sir, for your first pick. Actually, Bob's pick was How to Train Your Dragon. Interesting. Adam, who are you picking?
So I want to pick I Lost My Body because I really like that it's a non-kids animated
movie. Did you watch it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, no. it's so good.
That's why I want to pick it. I think Klaus sneaks in. I think Toy Story 4 and How to Train Your Dragon split it. Or Tyler almost died.
He's choking over that.
Somebody called 911. Yeah, so I'm going to go with Klaus.
Man, a holiday movie too.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm doing it. Deal with it, you guys.
So this one tore me a little bit because I'm like, there's no way they're going to give it to Missing Link again. How to Train Your Dragon is getting a lot of praise, and the earlier ones never won a best animated picture, right? Toy Story 3 already got their swan song. They've win it all the time, and that was supposed to be the end of that franchise. Toy Story 4 comes along, but I'm going to be honest. Toy Story 4 is probably, if not the best, it is one of the better movies in that franchise, and it is better than Toy Story 3. I'm shocked with how much praise we heard for Frozen 2 this year from both adult and children and critics that it's not here. So I'm going to do what our motto is, don't pick against the mouse. I'm going Toy Story 4. Tyler?
Yeah, I thought How to Train Your Dragon was a bad pick, and then Adam picked Klaus. I don't know how close you live to the nearest bookmaker in London, but go put some money on Klaus because that's going to make you like, that's got to be like 50-1 on that right now.
Right on.
It's Toy Story 4.
Cover all my other bets when it wins then.
Toy Story 4 is going to win.
All right, so Toy Story 4 there. Screenplay awards.
Yeah, I think that's the first one we all picked something different. Or the second one we picked also something different.
No, Tyler and I picked Toy Story 4 together.
Oh, okay.
The one we picked all different was one of them. Hold on, it was
one of the short subjects.
It was Best Animated Short. It was the very first one. We all four picked different nominees, so pretty cool there. Okay, screenplays. Original screenplay. Let's start with adapted screenplay, because that was the one that's higher on the list here. Adapted screenplay. The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, The Two Popes. Bob has picked Little Women, and I hate to start in these categories continuously picking with Bob, but I feel like that's a pretty good bet because, again, I think this is where Little Women's getting awarded since it's not going to win the next set of awards we're about to go down. Tyler, best adapted screenplay, Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, and The Two Popes.
I think this might also be the one where The Irishman sneaks in. I'm not going to pick The Irishman. I gotta go Little Women.
Okay. And Adam, why are you picking Jojo Rabbit?
I'm not picking
Jojo Rabbit. Oh, okay. Rabbit. I figured I was going to.
I think this is The Irishman, actually.
Okay.
I think this is where it gets a win in there.
It's as much as, and I think Tyler, you might agree with me on this because it sounds like we've had a lot of the same wrestling with it. I feel like some of these awards is where The Irishman gets. I really like The Irishman. I know it was polarizing to both critics and audiences, but it was a huge achievement in filmmaking. When you look back, though, the Academy has never really been huge on giving Scorsese wins, though. He gets nominated, but he doesn't get a lot of wins. So I think that's where I start straying to where, well, maybe this, they don't sneak in here with it. I think there's going to be a lot of, whoops, we should have nominated her for Best Director. Here's another win for Little Women. And I think that's why.
Here's the thing. This is the one category, the one outside of visual effects where I would be like, if the Irishman won, I'd be like, yeah, that's totally okay. Right. But I think Little Women will.
I think so too.
Interesting. I like the Irishman a lot too. Little Women is a much better movie. I mean, like I said, it was one of my top five of the year. Like, it's so good.
So, original screenplay, Knives Out, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite. Man, this is a stacked category. This is fantastic category. It is a tough category. Bob is taking Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That is what
How
I think
is that an original screenplay? Didn't the guy that Brad Pitt's character write a book?
Well, first of all, anything Quentin Tarantino does based on history is very much original, not adapted material. It is not outside of the production design. There's nothing about Hollywood that this movie is accurate about. But Bob is taking Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think it's a safe bet. Tyler, what do you think?
I really, 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 really want Knives Out to win this award.
I know.
But it is going to be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I know.
And that is my pick.
Adam?
Gutless, 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 Tyler. Knives Out, baby. Come on.
I like to win, Adam.
I like to bet with my heart.
Knives Out and Marriage Story are two of the top. I think they were both in the top four of my movies list this year. They are phenomenal films. Absolutely loved them. Marriage Story, I think just it's the problem, the Netflix problem. I think Marriage Story and The Irishman both come out from another studio, released limited in New York and LA, you know, from one of the, not from one of the big studios owned independent studio. Knives Out would be, I would love to see this win here, but I think Tyler's right. I think Bob's right. It's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. All the people in Hollywood are big on Tarantino's film this year.
I'm disappointed in both of you.
Yeah, I know. Now we're getting to the acting awards. And I'm going to be honest, we could see some surprises here, but I feel like in a long time, this is the first time that almost all four of them have pretty much a clear favorite. The women categories, I feel like, have a pretty close to a guarantee, but clear favorites on these. And let's start with supporting actress, Kathy Bates, Richard Jewell, Laura Dern in Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson in Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh in Little Women, and Margot Robbie in Bombshell. Bob has picked Laura Dern. Adam, you are the first pick on this one.
I don't know, man. Like, I think this is a tough one.
Really?
This is one of the ones you're saying is I haven't seen Little Women, so.
No, this is a guarantee, and it's she's won it at almost everything else so far.
So is Laura Dern.
Laura Dern across the board, and that's who Bob's picked.
Laura Dern.
I'm going to be transparent. That's who
She's quite good, right?
She's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, so yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Tyler, you were nodding your head. I think you're on the same page that this is a lock for Laura.
Yeah, I mean, if Parasite was the biggest lock of the show, this is probably the second biggest lock, and it's Laura Dern.
I would agree. Best Supporting Actor, Tom Hanks in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Anthony Hopkins in The Two Popes, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, each in The Irishman, Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Bob has picked Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The world has picked Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Iggy is going to pick Brad Pitt Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Tyler, who do you got?
The character actor in a movie star's body. It is Brad Pitt.
Adam?
I think he's easily the best part in that movie. Like, the best thing about that movie is Brad Pitt, so yeah.
For sure. So, actress in a leading role, I think this is right behind actress in a supporting role in terms of lock. But you have Cynthia Erivo and Harriet, Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan in Little Women, Charlize Theron in Bombshell, Renee Zellweger in Judy. Bob has picked Renee Zellweger in Judy. Tyler?
Renee Zellweger. This is another one of those ones where I have one I think should win, but...
Who do you think should win?
Florence.
Really?
She had a year, man. She's easily the best part of Little Women.
Okay.
Has there ever been a year where we've had actor or actress nominated
in... Sorry, I'm thinking wrong categories.
You're thinking supporting actress, yeah.
I really think it's gonna be Renee.
Yeah, I mean, has there ever been a year where we've had an actor or actress nominated for leading and supporting role?
Probably Meryl Streep.
We got ScarJo right now, right? Like, I mean, that's
a good point.
Pretty crazy.
We've definitely have had actor. She's had. We have definitely had actor, but I would not be surprised if Meryl Streep has been nominated for both in the same year. I feel like that is definitely, I feel like in the recent years we've had one or two that I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think we're all on the same page so far for the three acting awards we've picked, and that's Laura Dern for supporting actress, Brad Pitt for supporting actor, Renee Zellweger for actress in a leading role, actor in a leading role. This is going to be Antonio Banderas in Pain and Glory or Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver in Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker, Jonathan Pryce in The Two Popes. Bob has picked Joaquin Phoenix the Joker, Adam?
I don't want to pick Joaquin Phoenix and the Joker. Either, so I'm going to pick Adam Driver.
Okay.
I really like Adam Driver. And God, I think he is so steadily just been getting better and better and better.
Get it? Yes. And he was so good in Marriage Story, but he was so of all five that are here, and I haven't seen Pain and Glory. So actually of the four that I've seen, I feel like Jonathan Pryce, Leonardo DiCaprio, Adam Driver all gave better performances than Joaquin Phoenix. But since the Joker hit theaters, the voters, the critics, whatever, have had a hard on for this movie for some reason. And Joaquin Phoenix playing what Joaquin Phoenix has played in like five other movies and probably plays in every day of his normal life, AKA the Joker, is going to be your winner here. Tyler, what says you?
Adam Driver should win. Yes. Joaquin Phoenix will win. Yes. I pick Joaquin Phoenix.
I think we're all on the same page here. Just three of us didn't pick with our heart. So
gutless. Gutless again.
We're getting down to the big two. Achievement directing. Sorry, you can't pick Greta. I know you've been big on Little Women here, but once again, all male nominees for achievement in directing. You talk about for score that only three women have won. If you go to directing, I saw a graphic of it, of the headshots of all the people that have won, and you have one woman director winner. And it was for a war movie too. So no surprise there. Zero Dark Thirty, right? So
Bigelow, Catherine Bigelow.
Catherine Bigelow, who, I mean, I know they're not married anymore, but if you want to talk about that, have some pull in the directing community, James Cameron and Bigelow there. So we have Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Todd Phillips for The Joker, Sam Mendes for 1917, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. Bob has picked Bong Joon-ho. This is my first pick. I at first was hesitant on Bong because historically, I just thinking, you know, that's a foreign language film, whatever. But didn't we give this to Karan last year and he had best foreign language film and didn't win? Parasite, Scorsese did a great job. Tarantino did Tarantino-like job, which is typically a great job. But I don't know. It's just Bong, you know, Parasite is not going to win as much as it deserves to win either. I think there's just too many good movies this year. And I think I'm with Bob on this one. He's winning best director. Tyler.
I love Bong Joon-ho. I've always loved him. I love Snowpiercer. I love The Host. I love so many of his movies. And he was my pick for best director until last night. And I changed two votes last night. And one of them was this one. And I am now voting for Sam Mendes.
Oh, what makes you change?
1917 just came out of nowhere last night.
Did you saw it last night?
Well, I mean, just like last night's when they gave out the Producer Guild Awards.
Okay.
And it just went nuts. And I am changing my vote for both Best Director and Best Picture to 1917, Sam Mendes.
And we have not had the Director Guild's Award yet. So we do not have that pick yet, unfortunately. Adam?
I'm with Tyler on this one. I think it's going to be 1917.
We're split here.
This style and that ambitiousness of making that movie the way they made it, I think gets him that award.
All right. So Best Picture, once again, we have a field to where we can nominate 10, but we've nominated 9 because why include such good movies like The Two Popes was a great one. Let's talk about many other movies that have left off the list. I'm blanking right now, but there was a lot of good ones in Knives Out. Gosh, that was such a good movie, right? So what we have is Ford v. Ferrari.
The Lighthouse.
I didn't watch that yet. I have access to it. I got the digital copy from Bob, but I haven't watched it yet. Was it really, or are you being smart right now?
No, it's awesome.
Is it? Okay.
I love it.
And that's not anywhere on this ballot. So.
It got one nomination back for cinematography, which it films in a really like claustrophobic, like fourth, like a square. And it's awesome. Black and white. It's really good.
Oh, it did get nominated for that. Okay. So Best Picture nominees are Ford v. Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite. Bob has picked 1917. 1917 is the clear favorite. Tyler, what you got for?
If you had asked me 2 days ago, my pick was Parasite, which Parasite is still my favorite movie of 2019.
Really?
Okay. My number one, but my pick is 1917.
Really? Okay. Adam?
I think it's 1917. I would say you're looking at maybe the Academy, I think, is in a catch-22. They give Little Women this award and didn't nominate the director. Like, they can't do that, right? But that's leaving off Ben Affleck. Like, nobody gets real upset when you leave off a white man and nominate five other white men. But this, I mean, it'd be too much of a slap in the face or too much of a, like people would just say it was a, you know, a mea culpa. So I think it's going to be 1917 because I just don't think Hollywood can pull the trigger on giving it to Little Women.
How clear was it that Green Book was going to win the field last year? Or as much as Shape of Water seemed like a possible favorite, was it going to beat Dunkirk? Maybe a few of the other words and ones in that. Moonlight winning over La La Land in 2016, even Spotlight in 2015, Birdman in 2014, probably. But really, when you look at some of the other things like The Theory of Everything or Boyhood or even They Love War Movies, American Sniper, I think we go in here every year thinking we've got a clear favorite. And when I'm looking at this, we don't get that clear favorite winning each time. So based on that, a lot of, especially these big categories, we've been pretty much on the same page for, I'm going to swing a little bit different here. I'm not going with my heart, Adam, because my heart would be Marriage Story, because that is my favorite movie of the year. But I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to walk away with Best Picture here.
Wow. Yeah,
I think it's going to be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I felt before we hit, November there, when all of these other movies started dropping, that really looked like it was going to be the favorite. Maybe it peaked a little too soon, so maybe I'll be wrong. The Irishman comes along, definitely peaked too soon, because The Irishman then just gets followed up by great stuff afterwards. Little Women, you got a possibility there. You get a good point of, is this where we correct our error? But I don't think they're going to do it. Joker doesn't have a chance. As much as we all love Jojo Rabbit, it doesn't have a chance. Marriage Story, like I said, my favorite, doesn't have a chance. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's your winner here. If not, you guys are going to be right. It's 1970.
Well, I mean, you don't think that maybe the split allows for a Parasite to squeeze in?
I don't think so.
I think there are three movies that have a legitimate chance of winning. 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite.
Right.
If any of those three win, I will not be shocked or surprised. If anything that's not one of those three wins, that's a big upset. Like, that's a huge shock to me.
I give you that. I give you that for sure.
I would say, I mean, Little Women is not going to win. Neither is Ford v. Ferrari. Or Jojo Rabbit. Jojo Rabbit, here's the thing. One of my favorite directors, literally of all time, is Taika Waititi, and always will be. I love him. I think he's brilliant and hilarious. I don't even think that movie should have been nominated. It's not. It's fun. It's clever. It's hilarious. It's not Best Picture material. I think everything, I don't even know about Ford versus Ferrari, but everything else is, but 1917, Parasite, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it will be one of those three. If it's not, I will be shocked.
I agree with you on this. I think that's a safe bet to say one of those three. And that's why I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is where I'm going to pick. And 1917 is obviously the clear favorite. It's starting to sweep everything. This past weekend, like we said, Producers Guild Award, it's taken home everything. But I just, when I went to pick 1917, I just looked at last year. I'm like, did any of us pick Green Book? And I can't remember. It's obviously, we'd have to go back and listen to the episodes before that. I feel like Shape of Water was maybe a safer bet. But if you start going back through those years, I was counting, like, how many of us actually picked this category right? Of all the categories we get right, and we always think this is the easiest one, I feel like we don't typically get this one right. So I'm going to go Once Upon a Time.
Especially since we make jokes about them making it a possibility of 10.
Right.
It makes it so much harder. Because I think what happens is you get nominees in there that you wouldn't normally have gotten. And then when the final ballot comes out, people now get to vote for movies they wouldn't have normally gotten to vote for. It's less that
So it dilutes the vote a little bit, basically.
I think there have been years in the past where when presented with only five, it was much easier to be like, yeah, this was the best of them. But now you get those snubbed votes that in the light years past were like, man, that was a lot of people's favorite movie. How did it not get in? Now those movies get in and people get to vote for them. They're like, I mean, yeah, I get that one, but this was my favorite movie. I think that's just me making shit up. But I think that has something to do with it.
No, I think you're right. When we're looking at it, the lists I'm looking at I think The Hurt Locker was the first time that field was that big. And then you had The King's Speech, I think The Hurt Locker is the only one that I'm looking at that are the guaranteed. The Artist beating out War Horse.
I think that was the first. Tenet. That was the first one where people are like, really? The Artist out of
right.
nowhere?
Yeah, because The King's Speech and then The Artist. And then Argo, especially as you mentioned, the director not getting nominated. When you had Zero Dark Thirty, you had, you know, Lincoln, Life of Pi, another Les Mis there. 12 Years a Slave over Gravity, I think was what was winning everything that year, but not to mention The Wolf of Wall Street and Dallas Buyers Club and American Hustle, but Birdman, that was a shock. I think it really started a shock, but this is where you talk about those, because you look at some of those nominees where they wouldn't normally be nominated. Grand Budapest Hotel is in there. We talk about Her was in there. Life of Pi. These are movies that probably don't make it if it's just five. So you bring up a great point, Tyler, that I think I hate to use the word dilute because these are still great movies, but it dilutes the vote in a way where you're saying somebody's like, no, man, Her was really a good movie. I'm going to put my vote for her.
Right.
And especially when they tweak it so that they then look at second and third place votes, right? So when nobody gets that clear favorite, I forget what the percentages are, but when nobody gets it, then they start looking at who put it second, who put it third, those kinds of things.
What it's 30 something. What is it, Tyler? It's 30.
Yeah, something like that. 30% of ballots and then ranked choice after that.
Right. I mean,
yeah,
it's a weird
form for specifically just this award.
Yeah,
only this category. Yeah. Every time you're getting up Life of Pi, I get angry. Life of Pi is my, like as Shakespeare in Love is to Iggy, Life of Pi is to me.
You hate Life of Pi.
I don't hate Life of Pi. I think it's a great movie. It is the most egregious Roger Deakins loss of all time. The movie was entirely filmed on a green screen. It's a green screen movie. It won for best cinematography over Skyfall, which is a beautiful movie.
What is I don't like Shakespeare in Love. I don't get the comparison here then.
You're still pissed that it won Best Picture over.
Okay. So you're still mad that it. Okay. So you're.
Life of Pi won for cinematography over Roger Deakins' Skyfall. And Life of Pi is an entirely green screen movie.
Right. So last year, like, help me remember, I knew we weren't picking Green Book. Was it A Star is Born? Because it was Roma is what we thought, but knowing it was Netflix, we're like, it's not never going to win. So I feel like most of us was leaning towards A Star is Born. I know, Adam, you were on Black Klansman.
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, I was on Black Klansman. I it's because last year was the year I went through and like broke down all the Best Picture nominees, went back years previous to see, you know, fan scores and IMDb Metacritic scores and stuff like that. And Black Klansman was the one that I tried to win last year, Tyler, and I got screwed. So I'm not trying anymore. I'm picking who I like.
But you know what? I think a lot of us picked Roma. I think I picked Roma last year.
I think, did we think that they would finally do it? Because we thought the studio just wouldn't, or we thought the Academy's just not going to give it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned when the field goes wide like that. So I'm looking back before when it was still just five nominees. 2008, Slumdog Millionaire, clear winner. 2007, No Country for Old Men, clear winner. 2006, The Departed was the clear winner. 2005, that was the shocker. Crash over Brokeback Mountain.
Still people angry about that one.
Yeah,
not only over Brokeback Mountain, but over all. I don't know that anyone today could with a straight face tell you that those other four movies aren't vastly superior to Crash.
Good Night and Good Luck.
Munich. Good Night and Steven Good Spielberg's Luck is Munich.
So amazing. Yeah.
Capote. I mean, they're all four so good.
But then you keep going back down it. You keep going back down. Oh. And you got Million Dollar Baby, Lord of the Rings. Yeah. So when I look at those fields, those winners don't shock you as much. I mean, you obviously have the one or so, but yeah, I'm continuing to stand by it. And when Once Upon a Time in Hollywood wins, I'm going to be like, what? Although I am still cheering for Marriage Story or the write-in vote for Knives Out. The more I think about it, the more I love Knives Out.
I just don't think that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood would shock anyone like some of those movies shocked people.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be a shocker. I think it's just everybody's expecting 1917. And I agree with you. If it's not 1917, it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. If it's not that one, then it's Parasite. If I'm to rank these based on what is the likelihood to win, those are the, like you said, those are the three. And if anything was to sneak up in there, and that would shock me, that I would immediately message you guys and be like, what the bloody hell? That would be the Joker for sure. Or Ford v Ferrari. The Irishman, I'd be like, okay, I'm shocked by this. But if the Joker walks away with this, I'm never turning my TV back on again.
I would be more shocked. Like, Ford v Ferrari is just such a paint by the numbers movie. It's so good, but it's basically a sports movie. And here's like, I don't want to live in a world where James Mangold has an Academy Award for Best Picture. He's made some great movies, but they're just no.
He muted himself and is still shaking his head just so everybody knows.
James Mangold can't have an Academy Award.
I don't know. I'm looking. I like Logan. I mean, Logan was good.
I really enjoyed Ford versus Ferrari. You can make really good movies and it's okay if they don't win Best Picture.
Yeah, but Tyler,
that's the thing.
You bring up a good point. Let's look at this guy's Night and Day, The Wolverine, Copland.
But Wolverine was okay.
The Wolverine? No, Logan was, he did Logan too, which was great.
Logan was very good. The Wolverine was okay.
Kate and Leopold?
Oh, Kate and Leopold. Well, that's not classic. Good.
I would say that.
How many movies has he made with Hugh Jackman?
A lot, apparently.
At least three.
Let's see. Actually, those
three. Walk the Line and 310 to Yuma are his best two. Girl Interrupted's okay, but
this guy just finds somebody and works with them. That's
a lot of people. Christian Bale too, movies, like Ray Liotta's two, Christian Bale's two, Clea DuVall's two, Debbie Harry is two, Hugh Jackman's three, Robert Patrick is two. Well, we are up on time. That is our Oscar predictions. As always, you're welcome to put in your Oscar predictions either in the comments where you find this podcast, or head on over to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and search out Project Nerd to let us know your thoughts. We always want to hear what you think, especially as we get to some of those categories that we say are locks. Maybe you think they're not. We get to some of those categories where we say they're not a locks. Maybe you think they are. I don't know. Let us know your thought. And also, we are very much hoping that Bob loses here. Unfortunately, because he put his answers in writing to me, I wasn't able to change them. So those are his real answers and they will remain. But again, February 9th is the Oscars this year. So check it out. Project Nerd might have some announcements soon on what we're doing in terms of Oscar night. I know us guys will be paying attention for sure. So our nominees are set.
I'm gonna be asleep.
That's true. You will be
asleep. As you guys do you.
So hopefully no shockers, because then your Facebook messenger will get blown up. But All right, man, guys.
I got my phone on Do Not Disturb. Don't worry. I'm good.
We're getting Bob is probably freezing cold out with the thousands and thousands of fellow fans. Tyler's about to go watch it. I'm not a football person myself, but being that we are very local to Kansas City, go Chiefs for our Project Nerd team. Again, if you are a football fan, check that out as we are heading to pretty important games over the next few weekends, I guess you'd say. But other than that, the Nerdcast by Project Nerd, brought to you by Geek Garage, geek-garage.com.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.